Podcast, Midweek Edition.
Genuinely wants to spend the rest of his career at Tottenham Hotspur. I think he's mad.
I'm sorry, how can he escape Flash? It's unbelievable.
Messi.
So this is an obvious snap. It's a team in great form at home against a team who just aren't that good.
I think he'll score some goals in League One in 17-10 any time. Deadly from set pieces and in the air.
Great, the boss is up for manager of the month. They've been phenomenal. They're odds against. Love it.
Subscribe to The Punt on iTunes, listen on Audio Boom, or look out for the link on Twitter or on William Hill's Facebook page.
Hello everyone and a warm welcome along to the midweek edition of The Punt podcast brought to you by William Hill, Sam Norris and Mark Walton joining you on this midweek edition and plenty to get through as well. We've got Champions League matches on both Tuesday and Wednesday night, then the Europa League on Thursday night. There's also a League Cup game as well coming up this week as Leicester take on Southampton. We won't be giving that game the full preview treatment, but do check out the betting ahead of that one. A busy week of football full stop. We've got Championship matches midweek as well and then a full round of Premier League games to come. Once again, the weekend, but we'll be taking a look at the best of the European action and all the European games that feature British sides on this edition. First things first, though, it's a very warm welcome to Mark Walton. How are you, Mark?
I'm very well, thank you very much, Sam. Looking forward to this week. Big week of Champions League football, Europa League football as well, of course. Great to have that back, isn't it? We've had the international break. Obviously nice for England to get to a semi-final of a tournament.
Yeah.
But let's get back to the bread and butter. Stuck back into the good stuff.
Last international break until March, I think, as well.
Yeah, 4 months, isn't
it? Which is very nice. We're going to tackle the sides involving, or the matches involving British sides that are coming up this week. And we may as well get straight into it as we've got plenty to cover. Starting on Tuesday night at Old Trafford with Manchester United, who are taking on Young Boys. Manchester United 1-4 in the betting. The draw is 5-1. Young Boys are priced up at 11-1. A couple of enhanced odds on this match. Manchester United's come from behind and win was 5-1, now 6-1. Paul Pogba to score first was 9-2, and now out to 6-1. Manchester United breathed new life into their Champions League bid in the last round of fixtures, getting what was a shock win, really, over Juventus to put them second place in the group. And now qualification very much on the cards, whereas it may not have looked that way had they fallen to defeat against Juventus. That win came on the back of a couple of Premier League victories. But since beating Juve, they were beaten by Manchester City in the Manchester derby, perhaps understandably. But at the weekend, Mark, it was another really lacklustre showing from Manchester United, a 0-0 draw with Crystal Palace. I don't really know what to make of them. The only good thing for them is they're taking on a Young Boys side who have had a pretty poor time of things in this competition.
Yeah, they're going to struggle out the Young Boys, and that's the gift, really, for Manchester United here. They, like you said, they're very hard to work out. It's a case of one step forward, two steps back all the time, it seems, with Manchester United. That result away in Turin was, you know, superb. Classic Mourinho. When you think they've got no chance, he'll pull off something amazing. And then you think, you know, you'd expect them maybe that was the catalyst to kick on. I suppose you can say fair enough to the defeat against City. They were away. City are just streets ahead of everybody else, including Manchester United, which I suppose is the frustration for their fans and Jose Mourinho. But then they go and draw with Palace. They should be beating Palace at home. They looked blunt again. I mean,
Palace probably had the best chances, really, to try and win the game.
So again, you start asking the question, where do you stand with Manchester United? They have a really good record of beating these lesser-ranked sides in the Champions League. They don't seem to slip up all that often against the lowest seeds. And I think that's what will happen here. But if you look at the price, could you possibly back Manchester United at 1-4? I wouldn't want to back them at 1-4 against anybody, let alone a team that is in the Champions League. But then again, I'm not going to back Young Boys at 11-1 either, because I can't see that happening. I think United will win, but I think it will be a little bit ugly. I think it'll be a tight game. I think we can probably find a bit of value in going for Manchester United to win, but only just win by the odd goal or something like that. Manchester United to win and under 2.5 goals is 13-5. I don't mind the look of that. Under 2.5 goals in the game might be a play. They could sneak it 1-0 or 2-0. And maybe you could look at Manchester United to win 2-0. If you look at their results in the Champions League this season, they have won their games at home by the odd goal, or their wins in the Champions League have come by the odd goal. Obviously, they beat Juventus by the odd goal, which is a good performance. Lost to Juventus, drew 0-0 with Valencia. You know, I'm even almost talking myself out of this. They beat CSKA Moscow 2-1 by the odd goal last time. They won at home in the Champions League. I just don't think they'll run away with it. I don't think they'll be impressive at all. And it'll be disappointing, frustrating watching for United fans. But ultimately, I think they still will win. So, I mean, I suppose some people might be interested in United to come from behind and win. That was 5-1. That's now 6-1 on the enhanced odds. It has been a bit of a theme with Manchester United this season that they don't start playing until they go behind. And then they have these decent comebacks. That might be interesting. But the worry for that is that I don't think young boys are quite good enough to get a goal. I think Man United will sneak it. I mean, Paul Pogba, I think, on social media has been saying, never give in or whatever. He hasn't been spectacular. Some weeks he looks brilliant, and other weeks he looks a pedestrian. So, where do you go with Manchester United at the moment? I would not back them with somebody else's money at 1-4, but I think they'll sneak the game.
If there was a player that epitomised Manchester United at the moment, it is Paul Pogba. Yeah. Again, you just don't really know what to make of him. He scored a brace, incidentally, in the reverse fixture of this. They went to Switzerland and won that game 3-0. Now, just purely on the back of that, you suggest if they did that away from home, they should be even better at home. But I completely agree with you. I feel Manchester United in under 2.5 goals is probably the way to go. Maybe Manchester United to win 2-0. Either way, Manchester United priced up at 1-4 with qualification very much within their reach now, taking on a Young Boys side who are the joint lowest goal scorers in the competition this year.
That is the other thing, isn't it? If they win on Tuesday night, they're on 10 points. You'd struggle to see them not qualifying with 10 points in the bag. It keeps them ahead of Valencia before that final game, and then all they have to do is just draw with Valencia, don't they, to get through or whatever. And depending on what Valencia do against Juventus, they might not even need to win that game. This is the game that gives them the easy passage through, really, isn't it? So
yeah, very much so. And I think compared to some sides we're going to mention later on in the podcast, we know they'll be going full strength with that in mind, because this is the chance for them to try and seal qualification, or at least get very close to it. On to the other Manchester side playing on Tuesday night, and this is Manchester City, who are away from home. They take on Lyon. Lyon priced up at 6-1 here. The draw is 17-4, and Manchester City are there at 2-5. Man City currently top of Group F on 9 points. Lyon, their opponents, second with 6 points, so a win for Manchester City would take them out of sight as far as the group is concerned. They would qualify with a win here. They looked imperious again at the weekend when demolishing West Ham, winning by 4-0. But this is a Lyon side who've beaten Manchester City this year, and not too many teams can boast that. They're probably the only side that have beaten in the competitive football, as I say that.
Yeah, and since then they've responded really well, haven't they, Manchester City? They lost that game to Lyon. Since then, we've got a draw against Liverpool, which was 0-0. And then barring that, all the rest of them are wins, which is quite something. And they're easy wins as well. They won 4-0 against West Ham recently, beat United 3-1, beat Shakhtar Donetsk 6-0, beat Southampton 6-1. They're not just winning games. They're absolutely cantering away with them. I think they will win this. A draw, incidentally, would be enough to see them progress to the next round. But I don't think Pep approaches things like that. I don't think Manchester City are allowed to approach things like that under him. The only thing I would say is Lyon have already beaten City, as you say, this season. They can take a big step towards qualifying themselves. And they have a really, really good record at home against English sides when they've met. This is the first ever time that City have gone to Lyon. But in 10 previous matches between Lyon and an English side, they've only lost one of those. They've drawn 6 and they've won 3. I think both sides would be quite happy with a draw here. That would almost tempt me. But can you take City on in any way or shape at the moment? I'm not so sure you can. City to win both halves. I don't mind that on the enhanced odds, by the way. That's 5-2. It was 2-1. They push it out to 5-2. Because they just, you know, they could just win 1-0, either half 1-0, and, you know, come away with a comfortable 2-0 win. They're just, the way they control possession. And I think they'll want to get one back at Lyon a little bit, because they're the one blip in their season so far. And I think they're a little bit vindictive. I think they've got that little vindictive streak that champions need to have.
Yeah.
So I think City can make a big statement here, or a decent enough statement. You know, if you're looking for a way in for Lyon, the obvious angle, I suppose, in a way, would be Memphis Depay. He's suddenly showing the ability that we thought he had when he signed for Manchester United, obviously being an ex-United player. I think he might take some joy in scoring against City, perhaps. And Nabil Fekir is a real big player for Lyon. He was linked heavily with a move to Liverpool during the summer. That never came off, but he really is probably the star man for Lyon at the moment. And him to score any time is 11-4. I wouldn't mind that, but really, I suppose you've got to be pro Pro City with your bets here. I mean, what do you think, Sam? Do you think they will get the job done?
I think they will, yeah. I just have an overriding feeling that this will be a goal-rich game. I was taking a quick look at the over and under in terms of these two sides per game in the league. Leon this year, their games average 2.86, which is obviously going over there. Manchester City's games this year in the league average over 3.4 goals, which is just a crazy amount. I always think goals when I see this Leon side play, they are pretty exciting going forward. And obviously, that's what we associate with Manchester City, who I'm not exactly renowned for their keeping clean sheets. I think Leon will be absolutely bang up for this, to be the only team that have beaten Manchester City all year. They'll have a real spring in their step. I think they definitely score, Leon. I can't see Manchester City keeping this clean sheet away from home. So I'd either be going Manchester City win and both teams to score, which is priced up at 13-10, or I'd be taking a look at Manchester City to win the match and over 2.5 goals in the game as well. So those would be the two ways in for me in this match. I just think City and a high-scoring game. They'll want to top the group. You do make a good point saying that a draw would probably suit both sides here, but topping the group will be important to Manchester City and Pep. So, yeah, I think Man City win and goals in the game. I think this could be a really good match to watch. I'll certainly be watching this one over Manchester United Young Boys on Tuesday night.
Yeah, I will agree with that. And I like what you say there, Sam, as well. Just looking, match result, both teams to score, Man City to win, both teams to score, 13-10. I think that's got great prospects. So I think you've swayed me a little bit to go that way, and I'll put that forward as my selection. City to win, both teams to score, 13-10.
Yeah, nice. I like that. Yeah, could be a high-scoring game, that one for sure. On to Wednesday night's action then. We go now with starting with PSG taking on Liverpool, because this could be one of the matches of the week in the Champions League. 11-10 for PSG, 14-5 about the draw. Liverpool are priced up at 11-5 for this one. As I say, potentially the standout tie of the week is this one. The two sides at the moment are sitting second and third in Group C. Napoli at top, but this is a very open group. All four of the sides could still qualify, including, of course, Red Star Belgrade or Crvena Zvezda, who got that victory over Liverpool last time out. I mean, that was a huge, huge shock. One of the real big Champions League shocks we've ever had. It was Red Star Belgrade's first win in the competition since it became the Champions League. So a huge dent to Liverpool's confidence in that respect. But they beat Watford at the weekend, looked good doing so. Another clean sheet at home for Liverpool. No, sorry, they were away at the weekend, but another clean sheet regardless. And they take on a PSG side who are potentially, Mark, going to be without Neymar and Kylian Mbappe. Which is a real touch as far as you're concerned if you're a Liverpool backer here. I'm surprised PSG haven't drifted to a bigger price at 11-10. No guarantee that they both miss out, but they are both a doubt for this game. And I think if they're confirmed as being out, I'm not sure I'd want to be on PSG at 11-10.
Well, make no bones about it, they will be doing everything they can to get those two players somewhere near fit, because this is huge. As you mentioned, how tight this group is. Any one from three, isn't it, really?
Mathematically, Red Star, yeah.
Yeah, they could still get through, but they won't, let's be honest. And the big thing about this for Liverpool, or PSG, I suppose, well, no, mainly for Liverpool, is that they have to go to Napoli, or they have to play Napoli, last of all, in the group. So they need to keep distance between themselves and PSG, really. This is the game, because Napoli are very dangerous, and they sit top of the group at the moment by virtue of head-to-head records. If Liverpool get a result here, it makes up for that huge, huge slip-up, because there's no way on earth they should have lost to Red Star last time. Nobody could see that coming. They were very, very short in the betting. All they had to do is keep to the script, beat them, and they are in a great position coming into this game. They have messed it up. They've messed it up big time. And this is a little bit of a chance for them to get a little bit of... what's the word I'm thinking of? A little bit of compensation, I suppose, or get back on the right track. And if Neymar and Mbappe are missing, it's a great opportunity for them as well. I thought the game between the two sides earlier on in the Champions League was very entertaining, and I think Liverpool were value to beat PSG then. That was obviously at Anfield, so it's going to be a bit of a different challenge for Liverpool here. But I think I'm very tempted by that price of 11-5. I think Liverpool can go there and put themselves in a real good position. Napoli, I don't think, will slip up against Red Star.
No.
So that means that Liverpool need to get something out of this. And I think they won't pass up the opportunity again. I just think as a price play, it's too big for Liverpool. They've been doing great things under Klopp this season. They've been building for a good 18 months now, and then they're getting better. They seem a lot more solid defensively as well nowadays. The signing of Virgil van Dijk has just perfectly, you know, the talk of him being the best centre-back in the world at the moment, and he's just aligned that fragile at times defence from last season. I think Liverpool are equipped. They got to the final last year. I think they're equipped to go that close again. And I think they can still, I think they are the only team now in the Premier League that can stay anywhere near Manchester City as well. I don't think they slip up. I think they're a great price.
Yeah, I completely agree. 11-5. Of course, Liverpool have got some slight injury concerns of their own. Joe Gomez wasn't in the squad at the weekend. He's become an integral part of this defence, playing alongside Virgil van Dijk. You certainly feel happier trying to bat Liverpool when it's those two at the back, as opposed to when Dejan Lovren or Joel Matip comes in. So they'll be hopeful that they can get Joe Gomez fit for this match. But with potentially those two players missing out, and it's hard to preview the game fully without knowing whether those two are going to play, because it makes such a difference. But I agree with you. I think Liverpool 11-5 are the value here. And it was a thrilling match that they played out back in September, when Liverpool came away 3-2 winners at home. And again, I think there may well be goals in this one. The traders have rather cottoned onto that, though. Over 2.5 goals is 1-2. But we could see over 3.5 in the match as well, to go for one at a bigger price. On to Spurs now, who are in action against Inter Milan at Wembley on Wednesday night. It's 8-11 about Spurs. The draw is 3-1, 7-2 for Inter Milan. Plenty of people would have been very impressed with Spurs at the weekend when they swept Chelsea aside, really. They won 3-1, but the scoreline more flattered Chelsea than it did Spurs. They were very, very good in that game, Spurs. Their Champions League prospects are, I don't want to say hanging on by a thread, but they are certainly in the worst position of any of the English teams still left in the Champions League. And they were able to keep themselves hanging on via a late show from Harry Kane in their last Champions League match to come from behind to beat PSV. This is must win tonight for Spurs, because they lost the reverse fixture to Inter Milan, who hold a head-to-head advantage over them, and the 3 points clear. So a draw would not be enough. Spurs have to go and win the game. They'll obviously be buoyed by their performance in the weekend, and they're up to third now in the Premier League, but they have struggled in this competition this year.
Yeah, it's been a weird one, hasn't it, for Spurs? They're quite hard to figure out. One week they look very good and you think, oh, it doesn't matter, they haven't signed any players in the summer because this group of players is good enough. And then the other week you think, oh, they should have signed somebody in the summer, they're not quite good enough. 8-11 for Tottenham to beat Inter Milan at Wembley is a price that tempts me, because, like you say, if they go and beat Inter Milan on the head-to-head record, it can swing back in Spurs' favour, and they would then be on the same number of points. And from looking like they were doomed in the Champions League, a game ago I thought, oh, they've blown it against Spurs. They're going to be a nearly side again, or they're not going to live up to the potential that we've seen out of them. But they're right back in it now, and Inter Milan nicked the game against Spurs last time they met. There were two late goals, and it was a kind of a sucker punch for Tottenham, and it was kind of like, yeah, in this competition you've got to play right to the 90 minutes. They're still relatively an experienced group of players as far as Champions League football goes, and they'll be looking at this and thinking, do you know what, we've got away with this, we can go and almost put one foot in the next round, when it looked a very unlikely prospect. 8-11 Spurs tempts me. Harry Kane obviously is a man that you need to consider every time Tottenham plays. He's their catalyst. He gets all the flack in the world for whatever reason. He's just a great goal scorer. You know, he's a one-season wonder. He's tired. He's not good enough. And
they're always in a rush to say he's out of form, aren't they?
And then he just pops up with he scored for England, didn't he, of course, to get them to the semi-finals. He followed that up with a goal for Spurs against Chelsea. Dele Alli scored in that game as well, by the way. I flagged it up before the game, doing something else, that he really seems to like scoring against Chelsea, and he seems to be getting, you know, he had a little quiet spell himself, didn't he, Dele Alli, and he's now starting to pick up again. And I think Spurs will do this. Harry Kane to score two or more is 4-1. Any set plays, any dead balls, you know, any penalties or anything like that, he's going to be the man to step forward. I don't mind that. He's 8-11 to score any time. He's the greatest choice in the world for a win cast, isn't he? Because when Kane scores, when Tottenham win, Kane's usually on the score sheet. Any time for him to score any time and the Spurs win is 13-10. I can't really put anybody off that. I think those are the things I'd be looking at. It's very, very obvious. It's very cliche almost when you're talking about Spurs, but I think they'll be too good for Inter Milan.
Yeah, the impetus very much with Spurs. The market that I was interested in here, back a goal to be scored from the 76th minute to full time. That's 17 to 20 each of two. Yes is obviously 17 to 20, as is no. 81st minute to full time is 6 to 5. 86th minute to full time is 9 to 4. I'd be prepared to go all the way up to that 9 to 4, and I'd probably back all three because late goals have been an absolute feature of Spurs games in the Champions League this season. They started their campaign against Inter Milan. Inter, as you say, scored late twice, 85 and 90 minutes. There were goals in that one. They then went to Barcelona. Lionel Messi notched in the 90th minute. The away game at PSV, there was a goal in the 87th minute for PSV to rescue a draw. And the home game against PSV, Kane scored in the 89th minute. So that bet, and the last one on the list, 86th or later, would have landed in all four of their games so far in the Champions League this season. And I would imagine that there aren't too many sides that run up a sequence of 86th minute or later goals in the game like Spurs have. So 9-4 for a late goal in this game could be something that interests me here.
I like it, thinking outside the box. And obviously, if it is still level going into the back end of the game, both teams are just going to, well, maybe not so much Inter Milan, they can be happy with a draw, can't they? But Spurs are just going to have to go for it. They're going to have to throw the kitchen sink at this game. And yeah, I like that, actually. I like what you've done there, Sam. Well done.
And you can't lose your money until the end of the game either. So
it's great.
It's not one of those bets that's going to come crashing down after 10 minutes. You'll at least get a run for your money. That's the Spurs Inter Milan game taken care of then, and indeed the Champions League. On to the Europa League we go then now. And let's start with Arsenal's trip to Vorskla Poltava. The home side here, 19-5. The draw is 27-10. Arsenal are in the betting at 8-11. It's a little bit more cut and dry for some of the teams in the Europa League. Arsenal are currently top of Group E. They're 3 points clear of Sporting, and they also have the head-to-head advantage at the moment over Sporting. So not much more is going to be required for Arsenal. Qualification out of this group has already been assured, and they just need to put the finishing touches in terms of finishing top of the group. Do you think they will?
Yes, they can't slip up from here, can they, surely? Yeah.
An 8-11, maybe not the worst price in the world.
It just depends what team he plays, doesn't it? Because they've got Spurs at the weekend in the North London Derby. That's going to mean an awful lot to Arsenal. They obviously went on that run where they were trying to get 10 wins in a row and all that. And then people have said their form's kind of fallen away, which it has, don't get me wrong. But they're not losing games still either. What is it now? How many games have gone unbeaten? Is it 15 unbeaten? That's 10, 12, yeah, 15.
Yeah.
15 games unbeaten. Considering this, in fact, 17 games unbeaten. So considering the start they had, I remember when they were beaten 2-0 by Manchester City right at the start of the season, and people were saying, oh, they haven't learned quickly enough under Unai Emery, and it's going to take years for him to rebuild. And, you know, they've quietly been improving week on week, and they won't slip up here, I don't think. I mean, Vorskla are okay, but, you know, you'd traditionally think going away to a place like that, at home, difficult to beat, but their home record's not very good. They've lost five of their last six home games in all competitions. Arsenal will win. It's just one of those things where they'll go to these places that we haven't heard that much of in the Europa League, and they'll just win by default almost. There is that much of a gap. I mean, they will make changes, and the attention very much will be on the weekend, but The only concern I have, I don't like to back teams that don't necessarily need to win.
Yes, especially at odds on prices.
Especially
here
at 3-4. So that would put me off a little bit. But if you ask me the most likely outcome, I'd say, Arsenal will probably win. It's a tricky one, this. I find it hard to really have any kind of, you know, solid do this because this will land kind of recommendation in this game, because it is so dependent on team news and they have a much bigger fish to fry at the weekend. So the final game in the group is at home to Karabag. If they get a result there, they're through anyway at the top of the group. So this isn't that important. I think they will still win, but I can't possibly say that they're going to be desperate to do so.
I think win and unders could potentially come into this one. I think, as you say, that they're likely to make changes with the North London Derby at the weekend. And some of the fringe players have actually carried Arsenal through, but have scored some goals. Danny Welbeck's got a couple in this competition. Smith Rowe, the youngster, scored away at Karabag. Guendouzi, who has been in and out of the side this season, has scored in this competition. So I think they will play a weekend side, but I think they will come through anyway. And I'd probably go Arsenal and under 2.5 goals as my idea of a bet in this one.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind that. The other thing that would kind of temper my enthusiasm a little bit with that is that Welbeck's played quite a big role for them in the Europa League, and obviously he can't play with his serious leg break.
Yes. So
it's another thing that kind of just pulls you away a little bit when you think, yeah, I think they probably still win. I mean, Eddie Nketiah's had a decent start to his life at Arsenal. He's 6-4 to score any time. I think he'll probably play, won't he? He's got nothing to lose by putting him in. I'd maybe look at something like that. I think it will be low scoring, like you say. And I think they'll shade it, but they don't need to.
The other early game on Thursday night in the Europa League that's got a bit of British interest in it is Celtic's trip to Rosenborg. And Celtic obviously coming into this off the back of a win against Red Bull Leipzig, which came somewhat out of the blue. 18-5 for Rosenborg. The draw is 3-1. Celtic are priced up for this game at 7-10. They're odds on favourites, but Rosenborg have been dreadful in this competition all year. After a slightly slower than usual start to the Scottish Premiership season, Celtic have ascended to the summit of the table and are back in a familiar position as far as they are concerned. This was a tough group for Celtic, with Salzburg in there and Red Bull Leipzig as well. They often punch above their weight in European competition. We've seen them get big results in the Champions League. That was a big result last time out against Leipzig in this competition. They're on the cusp of qualification and a nice opportunity against what have been the whipping boys of Group B. Lost all four of their games so far at Rosenborg. Only scored 3 goals along the way. Celtic are odds on, but perhaps understandably so. They'll be G'd up from that win against Leipzig. And I mean, this is a great opportunity to apply further pressure on Leipzig, who potentially aren't going to be picking up any points midweek against Salzburg.
Yeah, they're by far the best in the group, aren't they, Salzburg? They've already established a huge advantage in their domestic league. They're 6 points clear in the Europa League. They're just a cut above, so it was kind of always going to be playing for second place, I think, for Celtic. The thing is, Salzburg are pretty much through. Well, they are through, aren't they?
Yeah.
12 points. So this boils down to Leipzig against Celtic. What I'm trying to get away across in words is that Leipzig will want it more than Salzburg. So
yeah.
Celtic can't rely on getting a favour from the group toppers. They need to go to Rosenborg and get a result. So I think, you know, like, this is a game that you can think they're going to go all in it. And Rosenborg are awful. They've just had a disaster of a Europa League campaign. Celtic, as you say, started slowly, but we are starting to see signs that they are getting back to what we'd expect from Celtic.
Yep.
They beat Hearts 5-0. I know Hearts have got a few injury problems, but they're up there in the SPL. They beat Leipzig. Last time they were out in the Europa League, they won away at Hamilton at the weekend in good fashion. I think we're just starting to see Celtic warm up to where we expect them to be. And I think even at a little bit of odds on, they're not a bad bet here. I'd be pro taking on Rosenborg in any game in the Europa League. I thought Celtic would be shorter. 7-10 skinny,
yep.
I know, but I thought they would be shorter. So, I'd side with that. I'd go Celtic to score. You've got the obvious goal-scoring angles in there as well. Lee Griffiths, we've spoken about him and Celtic for, you know, him being the goal scorer for Celtic for a number of years now. 6-5 to score any time. He scored at the weekend. Eduard's been scoring goals as well. He's 6-5 there, the obvious ones. James Forrest.
Yeah, he got a hat-trick for Scotland. He's 21-10, which I was a bit surprised about.
I don't mind that.
That was going to be my bet here, James Forrest to score 21-10. Be really impressed with him, and as I say, a hat-trick for Scotland during the international break.
Yeah, I think he's the pick of them at 21-10, isn't he? Just on a price play. I mean, if you're looking for value, I'd say you're probably along the right lines, but do you need to complicate this? I think you just chuck Celtic in your Accas, don't you? Something like that. At 7-10, get a bit of a boost.
Yeah,
maybe. It's not very adventurous, is it, that? I should probably be more adventurous.
Oh, you could play a win cast, couldn't you, if you want to involve some of the players that we've mentioned there. But as you say, this is a golden opportunity for Celtic going to a Rosenborg side who I think will be quite glad to see the back of the Europa League this year.
They're done with it, aren't they?
Yeah, I think so. On to the late games then on Thursday night, starting with Chelsea, who take on PAOK, or PAOK, if you prefer, 27-100. Bizarre price for Chelsea, but they are odds on. 9-2 for the draw and 10-1 for the opposition here. Chelsea looking to bounce back after a disappointing defeat at the hands of Spurs at the weekend. But in the Europa League, things have been going a lot more rosy. To be fair, they've been going rosy in the Premier League. That was their first defeat of the season. Chelsea topped the group, have only conceded one goal in the Europa League campaign thus far. They're on 12 points. Qualification is assured. A point is required in this one to officially top the group, but it's unlikely that they don't. They've still got to go to Vidi. They currently hold a head-to-head record that is better than Vidi's, but that could potentially turn around. But really, Chelsea have kind of already clinched top spot here, although a point would put it completely out of reach. And, yeah, as I say, an opportunity to bounce back from the weekend. They've been very good at the back in this competition, albeit haven't blown sides away. They've been winning by smallish margins, but good chance for Chelsea to try and put the weekend behind them.
Yeah, I think it's important for them to bounce back from that, because before that defeat, it was all going so well for Chelsea, wasn't it? You know, people saying Maurizio Sarri's changed them inside out, and they were one of the only unbeaten sides left in the league. There were three of them, weren't there? And it's kind of a bit of a reality check, I think, because they've come on a lot from last season, and I think it had to stop at some point, or it had to just give them a little bit of a reality check, as I say. And I think they'll probably, well, Sarri will certainly be looking for a response from that, but this isn't really the most inspiring game to get a response out of, is it? It should be an easy way for them to respond. 27 to 100 is very short, obviously, so you're just looking for anything where you can get a pro Chelsea bet that's at a price that you can get stuck into, really. I mean, Alvaro Morata is a player I wouldn't have tipped to score a goal back end of last season.
Can you back him to be flagged offside?
Yeah.
So stats of the weekend that he's been caught offside more times than Bournemouth, full stop, right, this season.
Well, there you go. That's a your odds bet if I ever...
18 times I think he's been flagged offside already this year.
Wow. Yeah. But he's been scoring goals again, hasn't he? Even money for him to score in a Chelsea win. Bizarrely, don't mind that because he's done all right in the Europa League this season. He's got an easier opponent, if you like, to deal with as well, and that's where I think we'll see the best of him this season, for the time being at least. A player that I would be interested in as a goal scorer if he plays, obviously you need to check the team news here as well, is Ruben Loftus-Cheek. He's come on leaps and bounds, hasn't he, in recent years. He was in goal scoring form not so long ago. Him and Ross Barkley, I think, are two exciting young talents. And we're starting to see the best of Barkley again. He kind of had a little bit of a... Well, obviously, had a falling out with Everton and had a bit of a spell on the sidelines. I think they can propel Chelsea in a big way this season if they continue to progress. And I think this is a competition where he's been quite keen to use them so far. On team news, you're looking at 2-1 and 11-5 for them. Either of them, to, you know, respectively, that's Loftus-Cheek at 2-1 and Barkley at 11-5 to score any time. I'd maybe look at them at bigger prices. Just try and find something that's a decent price about Chelsea. They will get the result that they need here. It's a golden opportunity for them to bounce back, get back to winning ways, going into what they're calling a derby at the weekend.
Yeah, against Fulham.
Yeah, it's not that much of a derby, I suppose. Well, not historically, anyway. They are both London sides.
Yeah.
I think Fulham are geographically the closest to Chelsea.
Could well be, yeah. There's Queen's Park Rangers in that part of London as well. Yeah, and
maybe. But it's something like that anyway. Yeah, trying to sell the game.
It's going to be nice for Sky to be able to tack on to the Merseyside derby and the North London derby, isn't it? So they can call it Derby Day and we can watch adverts about it all week.
Yes. It's good. I like what they do.
Fair enough.
In terms of selling something. But I mean, and then you'd look at this time next week. They'll be going away to your boys, Wolves. And going with two wins under the belt. People have forgotten about that rather disappointing defeat against Spurs.
Chelsea then to get back on track and maybe look at Ruben Loftus-Cheek. Already scored a hat-trick, of course, in this competition this year. One more game to preview then. This is Rangers versus Villarreal, another game in the 8 o'clock window of matches in the Europa League on Thursday. And this could be a really interesting one. Rangers 5-2, the draws 5-2, Villarreal 21-20. So Villarreal favourites coming into this match at Ibrox. But this is a group that's wide open, one of the most wide open groups that we have. Villarreal top the group on 6 points. Spartak Moscow and Rangers second and third with 5 points respectively. Rapid Vienna not out of it yet. They're bottom of the group on 4 points. So it's been an open group. It's a Villarreal side who are the wrong end of the table, certainly as far as they're concerned. Only 3 points above the relegation zone at the moment. Coming up against a Rangers side who have been in free-flowing goal-scoring form in recent weeks. 13 goals in their last three matches. 3 in the defeat to Spartak Moscow. They then put 7 past Motherwell, 3 past Livingston. I thought this was a really hard game to call, but albeit it's probably the most interesting Europa League game that we've looked at, really, given the way this group stacks up. But I couldn't get a handle on it, really.
Yeah, it's tough, isn't it? I suppose Rangers at Ibrox with a chance to really take a big step forward under a manager that's doing really well. Steven Gerrard started really well at Rangers, and he was furious, absolutely furious with his team after that defeat against Spartak Moscow, where they led and then through the, you know, they led three times in the game and surrendered that advantage every time and ended up losing 4-3. I think he explicitly outlined to his players that is not good in a part of his team. They then went and beat Motherwell 7-1, and then they beat Livingston that weekend 3-0. I'm really impressed with what he's doing at Rangers in the start of his managerial career. And, you know, he's been to the back end. He's won European competitions. He knows what it's about to get out of groups. And it is all just conjecture. And you know, you say these things when you're talking about players becoming managers and all that. But I think it is going to have an effect. We're already seeing it have an effect. Put it this way, he'll say to his players, we lose to Villarreal. They are on 9 points. We're on 5 points and we're pretty much going out of the Europa League. We win this game. We're on 8 points. They're on six and they drop below us, possibly to third, depending on what happens in the other game.
Yeah.
And we've suddenly got 1 foot in the next round. And given that they're at home and Villarreal aren't exactly in fine form at the moment, they're not losing games, but they're not winning them either. They beat Real Betis at the weekend, but they drew with Vallecano. They drew 0-0 with Rapid Vienna. They drew with Levante. They drew with Almeria. These are teams that you'd expect them to be doing better against. They lost to Deportivo Alaves. I don't think they're in a great place at the moment, Villarreal.
They don't look like they're going to get back into this competition next year at this rate.
And their away form is deplorable. Absolutely awful. Well, at the moment it is. They haven't won for the last six away games. They did have a decent spell before that, but it all just seems to be falling apart for Villarreal at the moment. And going to Rangers on a cold Thursday night in the middle of November, where Rangers are up for it and there's an Ibrox crowd behind them, I think Rangers will win it.
Okay, Rangers potentially good value then at 5-2. That about wraps up the midweek
5-2
edition of the Punt. Yeah, outsiders, 21-20 for Villarreal.
That is tempting.
Yeah, very much so. But I
thought it'd be shorter than that.
I think we've done all right there. A few favourites thrown in, but Rangers and Liverpool, that's bigger prices.
What a double that'd be. Gerrard
exactly.
Double.
Yeah, indeed. Indeed. That about wraps up the midweek edition of the Punt. As I say, there is a League Cup match as well on Tuesday night between Leicester and Southampton. So there are two Premier League sides in action on top of all the Europa League and Champions League football that we've got coming up this week. Do check out all the betting as well. Loads of enhanced odds on the website, and all these matches are hashtag Your Odds Games as well. Mark, thank you very much for that. We've nattered on for nearly 40 minutes there.
Wow, we've gone way too long.
I think we have, yeah. If anyone's still listening at this point in the podcast, thank you.
Thanks.
And we'll be back. Dave Kellner might be back for the weekend edition of the Punt.
Rumour has it.
Potentially.
He's back.
With maybe tales from New York at this time of year. Anyway, thank you.
I dread to think what he got up to in New York.
Yeah, indeed. Potentially you'll find out this weekend. Thank you, Mark, and enjoy the matches midweek.
Thank you.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.